Yeah.
How about three no's and a yeah?
I'm not ready, but you should start it anyway.
2-3-1.
Do it.
Back show!
Who's the best show here?
Back show! All right,
that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
I am sure.
Pizza. A pizza.
Big O! Showtime!
My fly is open.
When you were making it for young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that'll link it bad. Well, there's Joe Link, going back to DLNGS.org. And the IRC channel is a Linux link.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, go together, just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 960 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we got Pat.
Happy July.
We got Joel.
Hello.
And back by popular demand, Joe.
Hello.
Yeah. And
hey. Back by popular demand, not rich.
Yeah.
I there's been something I wanted to bring up on the show a couple weeks now, and this really, like, at first it really kind of annoyed me, and then when I realized how far it reached, it
annoyed damn. You more?
What was that?
What is that?
That's a drill.
Yeah, I thought it was.
Hold on, let me hit my mic.
What? So, and I'm not sure, I think I may have spoken about this before, but apparently a few weeks ago, the timer was up for Amazon, and they took off the ability to purchase content through the Kindle app digitally because they were circumventing something or whatever for the longest time that didn't have to give Google a cut. And because they don't want to give Google a cut of the payment, they have gone the route that they do on the, I guess on the Apple application, because I don't use Apple for the Kindle stuff and all that. I didn't know that you can't buy digital content. You actually have to go to the website, buy the content on the website, and then you can download it through the application. But you used to be able to go to the store on the Kindle app and purchase it right
from
there.
Oh, on Android?
Yeah, on Android.
Usually, that's unusual. That has always been a thing on Apple because Apple's a dick.
Apparently Apple's not just the only dick. It's the same problem with Google, but Amazon and I didn't really, I know I heard about it on Apple and I didn't really give a damn so much because I think it's kind of crappy, but I mean, I get it, but I also think it's a pain in the ass. Now, the other thing that I noticed is, it's not just a Kindle app. You can't buy any digital content, even from the Amazon application. Like the Amazon store application, because that's generally like if I'm going to order something through Amazon, I'll look for it on my phone and order it through there because I don't usually go to Amazon's website through a browser anymore on my one of my systems. And I was like, oh, there's a book I want. I'll just go order it through the Amazon application. And I'm like, where's the Kindle version? Where's the Kindle? And it was there, but I couldn't access it. I couldn't even like download a free sample as far as I could tell from that. It was kind of I get that that's one of Google's or Android's revenue streams is through their store. It's just, man, it feels really, when it affects me. Now, when it was people on the Apple store, who cared? And when it was people who, what was it? EA Games? Was that it? Fortnite payments and stuff like that? And all that. I was like, who cares? I don't care. That doesn't affect me. Now that it affects me, now I'm one of those people. Now it all of a sudden is a problem. Right? Right, Joe? That's right.
Yep. It's a problem.
But for me. Now I'm one of the people that get affected by it. And I think it's,
huh.
Yeah. I, at least the other things they have in, like, non-digital content, it's not... You don't have to worry about it. But there we go. That's it. That's all I want to say about that.
Well, that sucks. That shows you how long it's been since I bought a book on the Kindle app.
Yeah, I guess what they say you can do is you can still browse a store on the Kindle app, and then you could, like, put it in a
list.
A list or whatever, and then go to the, like, yeah.
I never knew that they would.
It sounds like a bunch of extra hassle.
Yeah, and you know what's even more annoying, right? This is how I found it out. I forgot. This is what really frosted my Pop-Tart, right? If you go to the, in the Kindle app, if you try to purchase, like you say you want to, you buy the book, it'll dump you out to go to the website.
Mm-hmm.
But Android won't let you open the website. It'll automatically redirect you to the app. And the app won't let you buy the digital content. That's what pissed me off.
So you actually have to physically go to a PC
to make
the purchase.
Possibly.
Or another application.
I did not try running Chrome and trying to get into Amazon's website through Chrome. I didn't try that. And I, you know, I'll try that now, and I'll let you know whether it redirects back to the app. But anyway, that was my frosting.
It that's what tweaked your nipples this week.
Yeah.
Do you even have your old Kindle? I mean, I do, but I don't think it will hold a charge anymore, and I just haven't gotten around to buying a new one because I just don't see the point, you know, but.
My Kindle screen broke a while ago.
Okay.
So, well, let me see here. I am. So I just went and I typed in Amazon.com in the browser thing, and I am on, it's almost like I couldn't tell whether I was on the app or whether I was in a browser, but I'm obviously in the app because it will not let me buy anything digitally.
I just checked myself too, yeah. I'll try in Amazon.com and maybe force it to go with the desktop site, which will work.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Look, I'm actually on, I think now I'm on the website. If I open it in Chrome, not, I have to open Chrome first. Let's see. Now, even through the web browser, I can't buy it. Oh no, wait, there's the buy now with one click. Oh, maybe I can.
There you go.
The web browser. So
there's the workaround. The workaround over stupidity. Anyway,
there we go.
That tells me that they must be using some of the Google APIs.
Well, I guess so, because the app, the Kindle app, probably don't they all have to use the Google APIs? I mean, if you're going to do that kind of stuff.
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I don't think so.
I don't think you can make or accept payments without using the Google APIs.
Yeah.
Or I guess you could if you sideloaded the application on the phone, and they circumvented that privacy crap or whatever.
Maybe.
Hoops at Google makes you jump through for that, or their company does. What's your Atari thing, Joel?
Well, this week, Atari turns 50 years old. And
when did you turn 50?
I turned 50 over a year ago. But
1973?
72.
I was born a few weeks before Atari. There we go.
Yep. Yep, and the big thing they kind of let out today, actually, was that they're bringing out a game called, well, a title. I hesitate to want to call it a game because it's not just a game. It actually will include interviews of various people that were around at the time of the beginning of Atari, talking about things like I think they even have the inventor of Pong, which was the first video game that Atari released. Arcade game, I should say. That's the first, well, the first arcade game, period. But the title has all these interviews. It has a huge library, like 90 playable games, over Atari. It doesn't specifically say, whether, I'm assuming it's gonna be a mix of all of their systems and arcade games. So, like, you might have games from the 2600, games from, the 7800, 5200, 8-bit, as well as the Jaguar,
well, I'll throw that shit right out. The Jaguar.
I never had a Jaguar or Lynx. I'm kind of wishing I did now because I watched a video on it. They actually had one of my favorite arcade games, Road Blasters, was available on the Lynx, and it actually looks like pretty close to what the arcade was, but it's going to be released on the Atari VCS, the Nintendo Switch, the Xbox One, PS4, PS5, Steam.
What's it called?
Or the Epic Game Store. It is called Atari 50th, the Anniversary Celebration.
Oh, okay, because I heard of another Atari game coming out that is kind of like a role-playing game.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You have to... Gosh, I don't want to make false accusations on this, but
right.
It sounded like to the extent that as it was a role-playing game, the object of the game was you had to rescue the Atari library before it was deleted. And pretty much the way you did that was playing the old art. Like playing mini games based off the original Atari games. So like there was like a mini game for adventure. And I don't know if they said that it also included the full game, the full original game that you could play. But I know that there's like mini games based off of.
See, that's interesting. So,
you know what? I have this thing right here that would tell me exactly what it is.
Call Google.
The internet?
But back to the cart, or the game itself, it's actually gonna have, like six new games in the title as well. It's gonna have Sword Quest Air World, which is the first Sword Quest sequel, in 40 years. One called Haunted Houses, which was based on the Haunted House 2600 game, but it's all 3D voxels and pretty cool. One called VCTR-SCTR, which is a mashup celebration of the Vector era of gaming, games like Asteroids, Tempest, Battlezone. Those were Vector games. Neo Breakout, basically a new breakout game. Quadro Tank, which I assume says from the new entry in the classic Tank series. I'm like, are they talking about Tank or Combat? Because the one I always remember that had tanks was Combat, which was the pack-in for the 2600. And the one that looks the most fantastic to me is Yars Revenge Reimagined. So, in fact, if you look on that page that I sent you a link, I'll put it in the mumble chat, but you'll see a picture of in the Yars Reimagined right on that page, as well as the YouTube video. Here we go. I'll I'll put it in the IRC if I ever get connected to it. Yeah, maybe it might not be connectable to. Anyway, I think the IRC is still down from when you had the power outage, Dan.
The what is?
IRC.
No, the IRC's running. I'm okay. Using it.
Maybe I just have hex chat set up wrong. Oh well, no worries. I'm probably gonna pick this game up on the Switch. I might even pre-order. I don't pre-order video games usually, but this one I might, just because it sounds so fun. But without Atari doing what they did back in the early 70s to the 80s, there wouldn't be pretty much any video games as we know it. So, yeah, unfortunately, like Dan was saying in the pre-show, Atari isn't what it was back then, now. But it's still cool that it's still around. That's what I cut my teeth on. I personally never had an NES. I played my brother's. Because I was in college when it really hit. But then in the 90s when the Super NES came out.
Wait, were you talking about Atari Mania recently?
The video probably game? Just talking about the Atari. There is already an Atari cart slash download for $20.
Okay. So the game Switch. The game I'm talking about is Atari Mania, and it's a micro game collection of Atari-based games, and you play as a caretaker of the Atari vault in the storehouse of classic Atari games. One night a dead pixel appears, and soon enough all heck breaks loose. So the games begin to warp and mutate and combine in a series of challenges, and it's up to you to fight back the pixels and other surprising villains and restore order to the vault. So that's what it was. It's like a bunch of mini games based on the original, like Atari's classic games. So that's one thing I know. I don't know.
I would love to buy a VCS, but I don't know if I want to pay the price they want for those. $3.99.
You know what you could buy with $3.99? You could buy a Pi and put all the Atari games on there.
Probably,
With an emulator, and you would have $300 left over.
USB controllers that look just like the Atari game, the Atari controllers.
Yeah, and you can have $300 left over.
Actually, right now, you wouldn't have that much left over.
Well, you can take one of your old pies and save $300.
Yeah, and pay nothing. Well, you have to buy the controllers, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do.
But right now, it is difficult to get a friggin' pie.
Yeah, I was there. I actually went on Amazon, was looking, and you can get an 8 gig pie, but it's over $200 now.
Damn. What I was gonna say about Atari is I had the Atari 2600, and I played the crap out of the Atari 2600.
How many joysticks did you bust?
Too many.
I know.
It's so many. I don't know how many joysticks I went through. But my thing is, I had the Jaguar, and the Jaguar was kind of a janky piece of shit, right?
Really?
And maybe, see, I got the Jaguar in the end of the 90s, I want to say, like 99, I think. After the Nintendo 64 was released, at some point, I believe Atari re-released the Jaguar, because the Jaguar predated the Nintendo 64. And I think, wasn't the Jaguar the first 64-bit system?
Technically, yeah.
I think, and I don't, it was something like that. Or was it the first 32-bit system? I don't remember which. I thought the Jaguar was
the first 64, but it's one of those weird.
Right. And so I picked KB Toy and Hobby, which is no longer around, had them for like $30. And well, all the games were really trimmed. So I bought that and a bunch of the games. And
wasn't KB Toys like a precursor to Toys R Us?
No.
No, they were a separate thing. Okay. They were pretty big in malls. Like inside of malls, usually if you had a mall, you probably had a KB Toy and Hobby. Up until like the 2000s, I think they went out.
Yep.
There's a good company man about
Consolidated. They got bought by Consolidated, which owns Big Lots.
And then they're no longer around. But anyway, the Jaguar was janky. Even I was like, I can't play these games. They're so bad. And that's the way I've always felt about Atari games. Like, there was always this jank to Atari games that, if you compared it with something else that was out at the time, you could tell it was an Atari game.
It depends what era, like 2600 when that's all there was.
There wasn't really, yeah. But you compared it, like, you compared it 2600 with what was in the arcade, and I get it's not a fair comparison.
You're disappointed.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah, and it wasn't
like
until
Pac-Man on 2600 was awful, worse than Casey Munchkin.
Yeah, and so I you could probably say it wasn't until like the Super Nintendo era of things that we started getting games
right.
That
well, Centipede
really
was decent. Missile Command.
Yeah. I'm not saying they weren't games decent
like
games.
E.T.
Oh yeah, that's
E.T.
too jank.
Well, and one of the first
Indiana
2600
Jones,
games that really one. That really hit was the was their clone of, well, not clone, but their version of Space Invaders was actually really good. It didn't look as good as the arcade, but it was pretty damn close.
Oh yeah,
for Asteroids, the time.
Asteroids, Space Invaders. I mean, they were great games, but there was when Atari had competition, I always felt that Atari's games had this jank about them. There's just something, like, you could tell it was an Atari game.
I would say the only exception is probably was at the beginning, because at first it was just Atari, and then there was ColecoVision and Intellivision, all in the early 80s. In some ways, television was great. Like, for example, you had the voice synthesizer on the Intellivision. But the controller friggin' sucked.
Oh yeah.
You can probably say the same thing about the ColecoVision too.
Oh, Intellivision?
Yeah.
Intellivision's controller was terrible.
Yes.
ColecoVision was a lot better, but it wasn't great.
No, the Atari still had the better joystick at the time.
Oh yeah.
But what were you saying, Pat?
No, they were awful, those controllers of the Intellivision.
Yeah. And then Atari screwed up with one of their biggest screw ups was the controller that they put on the 5200, which was awful.
Was that the one with the keypad and the big joystick off the top
and
of
it? Yeah, and the joystick didn't recenter.
The joystick didn't recenter?
It did not recenter, no. So if you were going left and you just let go of the joystick, it would stay going left.
Oh.
So it was just like for example, I got the Namco game that has the honest God real version of Pac-Man from the arcade, all right. And try using the thumbstick on the Switch to control Pac-Man. Nope. It's better with the D-pad because the early joysticks, like on the Atari and on the video games, the arcade games at the time, were analog, or not analog, they were digital. They had key switches. You know, the switches that would engage when you press the joystick to the left, right, up, down. And that's a digital style control, not at all like the control that's on the PlayStation or the Switch today. You know, the main analog stick, which is an analog control, that is awful playing the classic video game, like Pac-Man. So, but it works great when you're playing things like, what'd you say, Pat?
Why do you say it's awful?
Because it's not a button press, it's a continuous.
Right. Yes. I can't get Pac-Man to turn correctly as fast as I can with the D-pad. The D-pad's faster, and that's pretty much like if you're trying to hit a right and you're going full tilt one direction, you have to hit that press at the exact right time. It's hard to do that with the analog stick on the Switch.
Yeah. So if I recall Pac-Man correctly, whatever direction you last entered, Pac-Man would keep going in that direction.
That's right.
Until you switch.
Correct.
But if you're using an analog stick, when you get to that point where you need to switch, it's a build-up to the actual input as opposed to a direct input from digital.
You could if you just let go and then automatically flip up. But I find it harder than just doing that with the D-pad.
You can't rotate it over or rock it over that way, is what you're saying.
Correct. Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah, so, and then that's just because that's the nature of the joystick back in the 80s. That's the way it was. Even the Atari 2600 was a digital joystick. It had that plastic piece in the middle that we'd always break the fucking ring off of. That will press four little buttons on the control board. So,
in that Atari collection you have, right? How?
Well, I don't have it yet, but yeah.
Oh, I thought you had it. I was going to say, how do they do Indy 500 in that or paddle-based games?
See, that's a good question. I don't know.
I mean, you could still do it on a joystick. It just wouldn't be
probably. Yeah. It's a good question. I don't know. I've never played those on anything but the original. So, I wouldn't mind finding, I wouldn't go for it. Like, if I wanted to go and get back into the 2600 games, I would probably look for a 7800, or maybe the...
An 800?
Well, no, that's one of the computers. No, I'm looking because the computers can't play the 2600 carts. There is a, I remember it was still out in the 90s, believe it or not, but they had a 2600, a slim. That might be worth picking up because it's one of the few, the single board version of the 2600, if I remember right. And it may have composite out versus the RF out, like the Atari 2600 originally had. So I'd have to look into that. But it was also a much smaller unit. But the 7800 would be preferred because I could play both 2600 and 7800 games, and there were some really great 7800 games. Like my favorites there was Food Fight and one called Xevious, which is a top-down shooter.
I always liked Xevious.
Yeah, it's fun.
That's the one where you would fire, and then you'd also have bombs that you could drop.
Yep.
And you could bomb stuff on the ground and reveal medals that you could pick up.
Yep.
And there was you can only kind of bomb the
reminded
tanks.
Me like a top-down version of Zaxxon when I really looked at the map that I was looking at today. But that's kind of what it kind of reminds me of a little bit. Because Zaxxon was cool. It was a weird view that you never got in early video games. It was a three-quarter view. And that's because you can have walls you had to fly over, too.
Now, I loved those games. I loved Zaxxon. I loved Xevious. I loved Time Pilot in 1942 and 43.
Yes.
I really dug those games. But then when you started getting into, Raiden Triad and Tiger Healy, where it just turned into an insane amount of bullets on the screen.
Yeah.
Like, you had to have perfect, execution of dodging through them, that's where they lost me. It got so ridiculous. I just didn't. Got I didn't have that twitch reflex and concentration on a million on quarters the, into it.
Yeah, games on the Neo Geo where there were shooters like that on the Neo Geo. You know, there was a lot of games on there that was like that.
And I played them, and I wasn't that bad, but, man, you just get to that screen where it's more bullet than screen, and you're like,
yep.
Good gosh. That's too much.
And those are still better than E.T.
Well, anything's better than E.T.
Superman.
Well, Superman. That was the moment you had to build the bridge, right? You had to fly around and, yes. and find the pieces of the bridge.
But yeah, for
those two are definitely in the top five of the worst Atari 2600 games.
Would you ever play Indiana Jones? Yeah. And Raiders of the Lost Ark on its own? Man, that
was alright.
That was something. That was a piece of work.
Pitfall felt more like Indiana Jones than the Indiana Pitfall Jones was game great. Did.
Yeah.
That was like, you know, a console title, and it was really good.
Yep. That's where I think the 2600 really shined, was when they weren't trying to copy the arcade games, which was, let's face it, that's what us kids were looking for. We wanted a way to play Pac-Man at home without having to pay a quarter for it.
That Pac-Man was awful.
But the Pac-Man game, it was a fun game, but it certainly wasn't Pac-Man. With the flickering ghosts and brown and blue for the game board and
it was like a third of the size of a regular game board, but it had to be blown up so big.
And because the Atari had really, let's face it, the Atari did actually have a pretty awful sounding sound system at the time.
Have one screen in that, or did they change the board in the Atari Pac-Man version? Did the board change, or was it just one screen?
I thought they changed the board. Yeah. But the games, like the original Atari games, like, you know, it's in my top 10
Atari.
For Atari 2600, but Combat, which is everybody who's ever played Atari has played Combat. Right? That was the packing game, and it still was a blast to play that game. You know, the one thing I liked was I could pick up a joystick and my brother could pick up a joystick and we play at the same time. You know, it wasn't this, your brother played and then you had to wait until he died and then you played for the one player only games.
I never liked the plane battle where one person had to be the big plane and the other person had to be the three biplanes. And I'm like, I always...
Yep. And that was in Combat. Combat was more than just the tanks, but everyone played the tanks.
Combat was great. With Combat, there was planes, there was tanks, and there were boats too, right?
I want to say probably...
Because I know there was a separate air-sea battle game.
Yes,
but I thought
was.
Combat also had, like, some ship. It was essentially the same thing as, like, the planes, but they were in
and
water.
Tanks, yeah, biplanes.
Or, like, River Raid?
Jets.
Oh, River Raid was great.
That was a good gun. No. It had tanks, biplanes, and jets.
In Combat?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess the sea one was the air-sea battle.
Yes.
What about River Raid, Joe?
No, I was just asking if it was similar to River Raid.
Oh,
I don't remember Combat.
No, not at all. No,
Combat, the first game that pretty much everyone played on Combat was you had like four, like, thick walls in the middle, and then each tank had like a little, slot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's where you would start, and then the biplane had two planes on it in the clouds. I guess there was a Combat too, because I'm on the Combat Wikipedia page, and I guess there was a Combat too at some point.
Well, if it sells good.
I don't know. Combat didn't sell good because it was the packet. Obviously,
that's right.
Combat 2 didn't sell very well because nobody knows there was
that's right.
I don't remember hearing about a Combat
2. No, I was just saying, I thought Combat 1 sold good. You said it's one of the greatest games, so.
Well, it came with
the system.
It came with the system, so nobody bought it.
It's like the NES and Super Mario.
Well, you know what? I think you could buy the game Combat in the store.
Yeah,
maybe there were some Ataris that didn't come with the game, but I thought they all, like, I don't know. What do I know?
They at least have box art.
Mine came with the Atari.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, Missile Command was great. Asteroids and Space Invaders were great.
I posit that the Asteroids version for the 2600 was a little bit better than the one in the arcade in that it had colors.
You can say that about Asteroids, too.
Yeah, well, and Space Invaders, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was, like, Asteroids had different modes. You had Shield.
Yep.
You had Warp and Reverse. Like, if you flip, I think it was Flip, right? So,
yeah,
in the arcade, you had a shield. And when you played on the Atari 2600, pressing down on the joystick would give you the shield, but then they changed it up that you could change it so that instead of getting a shield, you would teleport somewhere else on the screen, or you would flip to the opposite direction that you were facing. I think that was it, right?
Yeah, well, it was just like the Space Invaders and the Asteroid carts had the basic game, but they also had like alternatives, I think they had one where instead of you floating from one side of the screen to the other, you'd bounce off a wall or something.
If I remember right. What are you talking? Are you talking Asteroids?
Yeah, Asteroids. If you're flying towards the edge of the screen, you come out on the other side.
Yeah. I think you might be right. I think you had the edges where you would, if you tried to go do that, you would just bounce off.
Yep. I think there was a version of that. And see, they just did that through the game selection switch on the system, and you didn't have that option in the arcade. It was just
right. You just flew through one side and came in the other.
Yep.
I remember we would just blow up all the asteroids except for one little one that was left over, and then get the ship going on an angle as fast
super
as it
fast.
Could. Yeah, they're just flying through the screens and then just start hitting the teleport until you die and see how long it would take to die. Like, you would hit that asteroid. Oh, the good old days.
Back when you didn't want it to end so the next person could play.
Yep.
Just kept playing.
Back when you can make a quarter last a half an hour.
If you're good. I got really good at the Marvel superheroes game.
Oh, Marvel.
The Marvel, I forget what it was called, but it was like Street Fighter type game, but it was Marvel characters, and the end you had to fight, I think it was Doctor Doom was the last guy that you fought on that. Like, after you beat everybody in the combat, you fought, I think it was Doctor Doom. I got so good at that game that the one time I was like, I'm gonna beat this. On one quarter, I got all the way up to like the second last guy, and these kids came jumping in. And I had to keep beating these kids so I could just keep on going. And it made it last a heck of a lot longer. And I was like, dude, I just want to finish the game. Stop jumping in. But they kept jumping in. But I beat it. I did. It was a cool game. And there we go.
Well, that was on the Atari?
No, no, that was in the arcade.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was in the arcade.
I remember. Oh, what they? Oh, you almost beat the game, and then they jump in, and it was Street Fighter style. You had to go through rounds with them. If they had won against you, would they have been where you were?
That's a good question. I don't know. That is a really good question.
I guess that's an interesting way to take over and be right at the end of the game.
I guess so, yeah. I never thought of it that way. Yeah, I don't know if that second player got beat, would it pick up right there? I mean, luckily for me, once I beat them, it kept me at where I was and allowed me to beat the game. I didn't have to go through everybody
else. Now, one of my favorite versions of Asteroids was called Blasteroids. Do you remember that one, Dan?
I remember the name. I don't remember playing the game.
Right. In that one, it had your ship did have a lot more power-ups. It had shields, blasters, extra shot power, something called the Rip Star, extra fuel capacity boosters, a crystal magnet, and
did it have the Death
cloak.
Blossom?
Well, that would be the Rip Star. Yep.
Was that an Atari?
It was the last Starfighter knockoff.
Was it an Atari release?
It was in the arcade for Atari.
Okay, I don't remember who released that, whether it was Atari.
It was on in the arcade. It was also on the Amiga and the Atari ST, which I didn't have either of those. In 1990, it was released on... In 1990, they were still releasing C64 games. How about that?
Not surprising.
But, yeah, that one was... It was fantastic. The one I remember on that was... They also had one that was like a dual, like a head-to-head one. So you could be shooting asteroids, and there was another ship on the screen shooting them as well. But you can shoot each other, if I remember right.
That would be interesting.
Either that or you did co-op, which was much more fun. Because at one point, you get to like a boss level, and there was like this big alien that had like these... Well, kind of the alien kind of, ironically kind of looked like the coronavirus image that was going around during COVID. but that was great. I think it's actually officially acknowledged as a sequel, the third official sequel to Asteroids, because there was Asteroids 2, and then Blasteroids. So,
okay, I'm looking at a video of Blasteroids right now.
Right.
What happened? How did I?
Yeah, literally, you could have three different ships too. One was really fast.
Yeah.
And not well armored. Then there was the one that had a higher firepower and a little larger and had better armor. And then you had the big heavy Hulk one that was slower and had a big, you know, like heavy armor on it.
Could you switch the ships as you played it?
Yes.
Yeah, because I'm watching this and I'm like, I know I heard of it, but I don't remember ever playing this game.
You always started off as the medium one.
Right.
I forget what there was an actual name they had for each one in the game.
See, I don't know why I didn't play more Blasteroids. It looks awesome.
Yep.
Like, for that time period and everything, it looks like 87. A game I would play today.
I played it in college quite a bit, because there was one, they had a Blasteroids machine at the one movie theater on Hilton Road. One of the ones I used to go see. In college, I kind of got a thing where, well, there wasn't that many of them, but I remember going seeing, I'm trying to remember if I saw Star Trek V on opening night. I know I saw Star Trek VI opening night with a bunch of friends from college, and at that point I decided, well, I gotta see every Star Trek movie on the first night, because that was the best way to see it, because, like, we're watching Star Trek VI, and at the end when they blow up General Chang's Bird of Prey. Everyone cheered, and it was just a phenomenal way to watch the movie. was watching those ones on the first night. So for Star Trek VI Generations and First Contact for sure, I'm pretty sure I saw all of those the first night they were in the theaters. Maybe Star Trek 2009 was that way too. But, they had in that arcade, in the, hallway, right in front of the theater, they had, a Blastroids machine, and I'd play the death out of it, but waiting for the movie. One of my faves from the day.
I guess every shot you took drained your energy on Blastroids.
Yep. See, and the key on Asteroids was, even though he had a thruster, was to not use the thruster. Just rotate in the middle as much as you can. And the only way you would start moving is if you had to, like, you know, like say a asteroid was about to crash into you. That was the only way to play that one. At least the original Blastroids was quite a bit different, quite a bit more complex in the pattern it had.
Asteroid.
Of course, then you had the Paperboy. See, and those Paperboy, games like Paperboy and 720, which was a skateboard game, those ones you really only can play in the arcade, along with, I'll group Star Wars in that as well, the vectored Star Wars game where you, did the Death Star battle. That one is, you can't really play that game with the joystick, I think.
I played the hell out of that game on the ColecoVision.
Right.
Joysticks. So, yeah, no, I the joystick, I definitely, the arcade joystick was a lot better.
Without a doubt. Now, I did play the Empire Strikes Back on the Atari 2600 quite a bit.
Oh, I didn't like that game. Well, I mean, I played the heck out of it, but...
Right.
That's, you're talking about the one where you just...
The Walker battle.
Over and over by Activision where you just fought the...
Yep.
Yeah, you had to hit that space right above their head and before below the hump or whatever on the back.
Right.
Like, if you hit them there, you could destroy it in a few shots. But otherwise, I think it was like a shit ton of shots. Could you destroy it by not hitting it there?
See, I was trying to make up my mind if you actually had to do the flight around the legs there.
No, you didn't.
Okay.
You couldn't really, because it was
just
a game.
2D.
Yeah. So I think, if I recall correctly, it was kind of like Defender in that there were multiple screens long, and there were multiple walkers that you could fight in that on those screens. But if you went all the way to the end of the screen, it would just wrap back around to the other side.
Right
back to the beginning. And so if you hit a walker or the walker shot you, you died. So you couldn't go around the legs because it was only 2D. There was no way to get around the legs.
That's right. You just shot him. Okay. I'm looking at the video right now. Yeah, and then it had a little indicator on the bottom that told you where the walkers were.
Right. So it's just like Defender or Stargate.
Yep. Now, I did have Return of the Jedi for the Atari 800 at the 8-bits. The 800 XL and the 800. Actually, still I have that today. That's the game I bought at the Retro Game Fest. And it's one of my all-time favorites. It's not as good as like the arcade version of Return of the Jedi was fantastic because you had pretty much every part of the game. You had speeder bikes. You had the AT-ST. So, like, you were like the Ewoks and Chewbacca piloting the little scout walker. And then you had the Death Star battle with Lando Calrissian piloting the Millennium Falcon, you know, and the arcade version of Return of the Jedi was just fantastic. And I would say probably the official sequel to the Star Wars one, there was an Empire Strikes Back vector game, but it was a conversion of the original Star Wars game, and almost no arcade converted it. Because why would you? You know, you could still get quarters in the Star Wars arcade game today. I guarantee you that.
Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know what? Speaking of Star Wars, did everybody watch the last episode of Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Yeah, there's really no room for a second season.
I haven't watched any Obi-Wan Kenobi yet.
Yeah.
I'm going to spoil it for you, Joel.
That's
Obi-Wan
fine.
Kenobi, Joe, Obi-Wan Kenobi doesn't die, and neither does Darth Vader.
Well, no shit. Well, no shit.
And neither does Luke Skywalker.
No or shit. Leia.
Or Princess Leia.
Right. And you finally find out, technically you find out how Obi-Wan knew Leia. Besides just witnessing her birth. And how right. Leia knew him.
Right. They had to have known each other at least to some extent.
Right. You know, because she's literally records in the very first
Help
movie.
Me, Obi-Wan. Help Kenobi, me, Obi-Wan you're Kenobi. Only
you're my
hope.
Only hope.
Okay, well, I 3D designed and printed multiple times different casing for this cheap little $3 Bluetooth adapter. I've given it a bigger battery, and I've converted it to MMCX. It's a little heavier than I would like right now, but that'll get fixed in some redesigns. But it's working. I just finished up the last of it. Probably I could stand to shorten up the cables on the inside. And I'm going to do multiple designs. I think the next one I'm going to try with just the board instead of, you know, using the original buttons that are on the casing by reusing the casing. I'm going to get rid of the casing and just use the board and shave off a lot of size. But I pulled a battery from an LG, which is like four times the size of the battery, the 70 mAh battery that was in there. So yeah, it'll take forever to charge, but it's gonna run for a long time.
So this is like a, what, Bluetooth FM transmitter for your car?
No. No, it's for a Bluetooth headset. I also put an MMCX conversion on it. It's a little blocky and a little heavy right now, but that, like I said, that should get at least somewhat fixed on future redesigns. And I also need to put a lapel clip on it, which will, you know, make it so that it's not that big a deal that it's a little bit heavier. But I'm liking it so far. Yeah.
Cool.
I'm going to test out the mic here in a minute. Well, in 15 minutes, because I am working right now as well. Because I had to work a split today, because somebody decided not to come into work.
Yay.
Again. And, yeah, I'll have to join the handoff call.
Well, that's like I sent a Slack to the boss and the director and said, "Hey, I know both you guys are out Friday, but you mind if I take off early too? I'll bring my phone and my laptop when I go down to the cabin on Friday." But they're like, "Yeah, cool. Just make sure you know you can be reached." I'm like, "Okay," because I'm not expecting it to be very busy Friday. There's going to be a lot of people out anyway. Yeah, not on a holiday
weekend.
No.
Well, Monday is the actual holiday, and I'll be working Friday and Monday.
Yeah,
it's actually not that big a deal. But we'll see whether or not I have to work on Tuesday and Wednesday. It will depend on whether or not the guy that was out today actually comes back to work.
Yep.
I picked up a new phone.
Oh, what'd you get? Oh,
we have, man.
Well, I'm a cheap bastard, and I don't believe in spending more than, you know, $250 on a freaking phone. So my phone, I got a notice from T-Mobile saying that my phone wasn't 5G compatible. I had to upgrade by the end of the week.
Uh-oh.
I went in there, and I was looking around, and, you know, the low-end Samsungs were all right. They had the A13, which is decent. And then they had the OnePlus Nord, had a couple different models of that. They had one for $215 and another one for $280. And I found out they have a promotion running where you bring them an old phone, it can't be cracked and it has to boot up, but they'll take any phone. So I literally brought in a Samsung Galaxy 3.
Wow.
And they took it, no questions asked, and I got a free phone.
Really?
Yeah.
Free phone. I'm going to have to do that because I know my daughter's phones, they both got S7s, and they're not the 5G S7 because those came out later. So, yeah, so
get a free $200 phone.
Yeah. So I'll probably have to get two of those. And I just picked up another S7, an older LG, and an S5. And I still have my son's S3 that I had replaced with an S7. So I'll take him an S3 and an S5, and I'll walk away with two new phones.
Yeah, I mean, the Samsung was decent. Like, I was comparing the phones, and the Samsung had, I think, a little better display. It's a little clearer. But spec-wise, it only had, like, I think three gig of internal memory, and only, I'm going to say, 16 gig of storage. And
that's nothing.
Yeah, the OnePlus has better specs, more storage, more memory.
Oh, so you got a OnePlus?
Yeah, the OnePlus. So I liked it. I like it. Looks it's decent for low end phone. It's pretty nice.
Which OnePlus was it?
It's the N200.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that
Nord
one.
Nord N200.
Okay.
I didn't know they not had the flagship them at the store.
They do.
Yeah.
They got a couple different models. I thought it was better than the lower end Motorola's and a little better than the lower end Samsung's. The Samsung's, I don't like their custom version that they run. This is pretty vanilla, so I like that.
Yeah, OnePlus usually is.
I can't stand all those stupid Samsung apps that they shove in there.
Now, if they're going to say that my Note 10 Plus doesn't work, I'm going to be a little upset.
So I'm not sure when the promotion lasts till. It might be till July 4th, or it might be the end of the month. I'm not sure.
Right.
Maybe I'll have to go this weekend.
You may want to check out. I know they've been having good pricing on the 6 Pros, like half of what I paid.
I looked at that. It's a nice phone.
Yep.
I'm not sure.
Seth, hell.
400 maybe, I think it was the one I had there.
Yeah, and it's come down a lot. Well, I guess the 7 is on probably going to come out.
Yeah, it's on
this fall. Yeah,
they're looking to move whatever they got.
Right, and we'll see what the Pixel Watch looks like before I determine if I want to buy one or not. I like my Wyze, but the problem is it takes freaking forever to charge. You know, I'd almost take worse battery life to get it so I can top it off quicker. The upside though is that, it does last quite a long time. I can get, like, if I charge it fully before I leave Friday, it should last all weekend with no problems.
Yeah, this essentially got very good battery life. They said 2 days on a full charge. Yep. Let's see.
Yeah, we'll see on the phone.
Yeah.
But the watch that I currently have, the Wise, I have the Wise, and then I have the Michael Kors. That's a little bit older. Actually, it's a lot bit older now. I'm thinking about it because I don't think you can run the latest Wear OS that's coming down the pike. But Pixel Watch, I don't know. Some people are kind of negative about it. I don't care as much. To me, the watch is probably the one I care the least about, having the most modern hardware, mostly because it doesn't have to be fast, because it's not like I'm using it as much as my phone. The watch is designed for like when I'm driving or something, if somebody gives me a call or something, or if I'm just walking around a store or something, I can look at the watch and say, oh, I need to pick my phone out of my pocket, or, oh, I can ignore that, you know, and leave it go and be more, the watch for me makes me more present. Plus it also counts the steps and keeps track of your activity too. And it's not something I absolutely have to have, for sure. Because I know Dan doesn't have a smartwatch.
No, he doesn't. Doesn't want one either. He doesn't want to wear a regular watch. I don't know what I'd do with a smartwatch. It'd probably end up in the laundry. That was the end of that.
Or shutting the car door. Destroy like your it. Little clips.
Yeah. Or jump in the pool, forget it's on. I guess they're waterproof, aren't they?
A lot of them are, yeah. I don't think this one is, but... but it's a $30 watch, so if I do that, well, I'm not replacing it though, because the thing is they haven't, the Wise hasn't updated the firmware in it in over a year now, so it's like, yeah, that's a bad thing about some of the, you know, Wise, I don't know if Wise is technically an open source company or not, but a lot of that seems to be what happens with a lot of the, it's just like the tablets, you know, like our Jide and stuff, where, you know, it has what it has on it, and that's all it's ever going to have. And there's not going to be an update. And because nobody else buys it, there's no alternative firmwares, you know.
Mm.
But, meh.
So nobody ever did put any firmware out for the Jide, did they?
Nope. Well, part of it is it had the Tegra chip in it, and NVIDIA wasn't releasing any more updates to the drivers for the binary blobs that's in it. And Jide has itself shut down, too.
It doesn't surprise me, huh?
No. Well, it's like the TouchDroid thing I had, which was kind of like a Linux version of a kind of a smart device, you know, like of one of those speakers, really early version of it. And the company KYOA Sage that sent me it, in fact, I don't have it anymore. When we moved, I got rid of it because it's just like pointless. But there was just never any updates to the software, and it was just pointless. Let's see, FossHub, I did find it, let's see, based on Marshmallow for the Pixel C and the Nexus 9 tablet. And based on, let's see, it's at version 3.0.207, which, that's what it's been forever. I don't even think Jide's around anymore.
Yeah, I don't think they are either. You know what? We can find out.
Google.
Hmm. What was that? What was that called? The
Giant Ultra Tablet.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I don't know if I see a lot of reviews about it.
Right.
So I don't see the company. There's Jide Software.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure that I don't know if that's the same thing.
I don't think it is either.
Well, Jide Technology, is this these guys? Huh.
Yep.
It was founded by three ex Google engineers. I didn't know that. And they were doing Remix OS.
Correct.
Well. So maybe Jide Software is them.
Well, Jide.com is actually up.
Is it?
Yeah, but let me see. They have the Jide Pro 2 listed, but maybe it, huh?
Well, you know what? I ain't gonna buy another one of those. It was a great machine.
Me either.
But, you know, it was great. Well, it lasted the 2 years that it did. Not, it lasted longer than 2 years, but you weren't getting any updates after that.
No. It's just like the Aspen Hybrix. I still have it. I probably should just take it. I could sell it, but I would feel guilty selling it because it's just not good. You know, I'd probably just take it to e-waste.
Sell it to Joe. He'll find something to do with it, right?
Or I guess I could rip it out and try putting a Pi Zero in it.
Sell what to Joe?
My Aspen Hybrix PC. Based on Remix OS 2.0, I think it is.
Aspen Hybrix, you said?
A-Z-P-E-N. Hybrix. H-Y-B-R-X. A-1160.
That can't run Linux, can it?
Actually, I found the entries in, like, one of the, I'm trying to remember the name of the website, but I found an entry on a website somewhere where they were able to get, like Ubuntu running on it, but because Ubuntu doesn't have the driver for the LCD display, you have to use like an external display on it.
Oh,
which I'm like,
that crap.
Yeah, that kind of shit. So
how's
it's
it
like
spelled?
HYBRX.
AZPEN, right?
Yeah.
Or is it AZBEN?
P. Papa.
Yeah, okay. Man, I remember there
you
was
just
that,
search for HYBRX, find it.
There was that all that like, hey, you want to root your phone? Well, all you need to do is download this Windows application that will root for your proper phone. That'll root your phone. You know, just, you can
now,
never
me
find
and Pat
a way to
were
do
old,
it.
Old rooters from the original G1 day. I actually still have my G1. Which is the first Android phone ever. I'm not going to throw it away.
What was the name of that open, like, version of Android that was really popular for a while?
Cyanogen?
Yeah, Cyanogen. Is that... Are they still doing that?
It's called something else now. What is it?
Wasn't it called, like, Patriot OS or something for a while? Or
no.
Changed it?
Cyanogen mod. Discontinued open source software.
Right. I think the guy who wrote it
ended up working for Samsung. It got changed to Lineage.
That's right, Lineage.
That's it, yeah.
I have to join this call.
Alright.
I'll talk to you guys later.
So Lineage OS, I guess, is still going.
Yep.
It had a changelog 26 released on April 22nd.
Yep. Yeah, the rooting stuff is a lot more, I think it's a lot more sketched now than it was back in the day when Pat and I did it.
I used to root my stuff. Why are you leaving me out, Joel? Why are you casting the game my way?
Oh, I know you de-rooted your stuff. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's why I said it would get to be a pain in the ass when you'd end up with a phone that you would want to go to root it, and the only way you could do it was like somebody put out a Windows application, like
or something else,
like
yeah.
That you couldn't. Like I'm like, well, can't you do this through
it,
like,
yeah,
just connecting to it and certain commands? Like why is it all obfuscated?
Yep. Yeah, I know.
I did it on the original Google phone, and that thing was a piece of cake. It was not brick.
Nope.
It wasn't locked or anything.
Nope.
Oh,
the
yeah,
only
the
weird thing about the G1.
Too.
Yeah, the T-Mobile G1, the only thing that was weird on that one was the, it didn't have a normal headphone jack. Not like my phone has one now, but that time it was even weirder. At least now, when the phone doesn't have a headphone jack, you can probably buy a pair of headphones that'll go into the USB-C port. You know, if you wanted wired headphones. But back then we had to have a HTC's proprietary connector. But at least you could plug in a regular mini, not the mini, but the regular B USB cable. But
yeah, remember all those preparatory plugs before the USB standardized?
Yep.
Pain in the ass.
Yeah. And then there was the OpenMoco phone. OpenMoco was a nice concept, but it never really went anywhere.
Have they gotten anywhere with the latest open phone thing they were doing?
I don't even know what the latest is anymore.
I haven't been following it, but Claudio had it, and Richard.
Oh, I know, the Pine phone.
Right, the Pine.
That's a good question. I know I can't order one. Now, I am thinking about picking up... I gotta save some bucks for it because it's kind of expensive. But rfinder.shop, they have the rfinder B1 Plus. It's a dual band DMR radio built into an Android device, and it has 4G LTE on it as well. It will do DMR. Yeah, it does DMR over IP. So if you can't pick up a DMR repeater, you can basically use it kind of like you use a hotspot and still talk on the DMR network for ham radio. And the best part is you do not have to in DMR radio, you'll hear people talk about a code plug, which is essentially just programming your radio. Back when it was a mode... It was basically a Motorola standard at one point, MOTRBO, I believe it was. And back then, you actually had a physical plug you had to plug in that would switch you to the different talk groups and stuff. Well, It hasn't been like that forever, but everyone still calls it a code plug. All right, so basically programming the radio. Well, with this, you just load up an app and look up the repeater you want and the talk group you want, and bam, you're on it. There's no programming it. The software has everything in it.
That sounds good.
Yeah, so, but it's like $12.99. And at least it works on, yeah, it's not cheap, but at least it will work on Verizon now. When they first brought out their first versions, it wouldn't work on Verizon. So all I'd have to do is get a SIM card and put it in there. It cost me an extra like $10 or so a month if I got it. And it would be worth carrying it when I want to do DMR radio stuff. I do have my DMR radio that I do have is the Radio Oddity GD77, and it's actually running an open firmware. And it works really, really well. I love that radio. See, one of the great things with DMR is the talk groups, which basically uses the internet to talk to other hands. Very in a similar way to D-Star would do something similar. But talk groups are usually organized by region. Like there's a Columbus talk group, which will talk on every Columbus DMR repeater. And there's Ohio statewide talk group, and that will talk on every Ohio DMR repeater that's on the main DMR network. There's other DMR networks as well, like Grandmeister, I forget all the other ones, but with the RFinder, you basically have access to it all, which is pretty nifty. Plus, I bet you probably can use, I don't call it ham radio, but there's another voice over IP app. I'm trying to remember. They used it during the hurricanes a few years ago. I'm trying to remember the name of it. It was kind of similar to Voxer, but it was not. It was something else. I can't remember what it was.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And a lot of ham radio operators use it, but it's not really ham radio. At least I wouldn't call it that anyway. It's
more an app. I don't know what you're talking about. I forget the name of it, though.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. I try not to remember it because I just don't like it. Yeah, this RFinder B1's a freaking brick too, man. But it does do a lot. So it has like a... I'm trying to remember how much power does the radio side have? Well, they sell an amplifier for $500. That'll get you up to 40 watts. If I remember right, though, I think it's probably either 4 or 5 watts, I think. Which is what, yeah, it's 4 watts. Okay, so it's really close to what most handhelds are now.
Was it Zello, Joel?
That's it. That's the one I was trying to remember. Yeah, that was it. It'll probably work on that as well with the PTT.
Yeah, that's a pretty popular app, especially with, like, the ham people.
Yeah, for whatever reason. I'm not exactly sure why, but...
But it's just an app.
Yep. Yep. They also have a rugged, the RFinder P10, which is a ruggedized tablet. Same kind of deal with 4G built into it. I'd rather have the B1 bus, though. at least it's not too bad. Yeah, I don't know what kind of specs or what version of Android that it can run, but as long as it can continue to support the R-Finder app, I'd be happy.
Getting close to that close-up time.
Yep. So it's 4th of July weekend. We're going to go down to Lake Hope State Park. I've got a cabin reservation starting Friday through Monday. And we're going to do some hiking, probably some fishing. Probably Friday night, we'll probably, the lodge has a restaurant there, so I'll probably just eat there since I'll have a relatively full day of work, as well as just driving down there. It's about an hour away, so it's not too bad. And tomorrow night, I'm going to go to the store after work and get the food for the trip and get some steaks to do Saturday night on the charcoal grill that's at the cabin. And we're going to do like hot dogs over the fire and stuff like that. Got to remember to take the camp chairs too. You just hanging out at home, Pat?
Yeah.
Cool.
It's a day off. I'll take it.
Watching fireworks. We're doing the redneck fireworks. Actually, I forgot that's totally illegal in Pennsylvania.
Wouldn't know that.
Yeah, you wouldn't know it. Same here, really. Well, see, now here's the screwy thing in Ohio. Governor DeWine, he signed a law that says you lawfully can set off fireworks everywhere in the state of Ohio, but the cities all put in their own ordinances that says you can't set fireworks off in the city. And the only difference is, and you can buy them here. And the only difference now is before, you used to have to sign a piece of paper that basically you would lie on and say, I would take it out of state. But now you just sign one and says you're not a terrorist. Literally, I heard someone say that's what it says, but I did a lot of that stuff as a kid. My dad always had some, firecrackers and, M80s and stuff hanging around when we lived over in Ohio. But it got to be, I looked at it and I said, it's literally burning money. So I'm like, yeah, I'll pass. When Luke was little, we got sparklers for him, but that's about it. What are you doing, Dan? Just staying home and doing a crab boil?
Hell no. Crabs are fucking outrageous. And I haven't...
Everything's outrageous.
Yeah, so the blue crab population is a little on the low side, so it's really jacking up the prices on them now. I haven't... Usually it's like another couple of weeks before the crabbing is really good. So I haven't done any crabbing myself.
Crawfish, that's what you do.
Crawfish, I don't know how much. I'm not doing any crawfish either. I don't know if I have anything planned. My wife's still recovering from that surgery, so there's very limited things that we could do.
Yep.
There's not a lot of fireworks going on around here either this year, surprisingly. So really? And it's supposed to rain like all weekend long here.
Friday and Saturday it's supposed to rain too. We have like a 70% chance, but I'm assuming it's going to be like, you know, thunderstorms at night, you know, or in the evening, which I can live with that, but.
Yeah, it's supposed to be thunderstorms off and on. Although, you know, it only seems, I don't know, it's too far away to get an accurate, like, 100% guarantee. So, like, it looks like maybe a little bit of rain possible. But yeah, so I don't have any big plans. Just hanging out around the house. Not spending money, whatever. Enjoying everything. Probably go swimming with my daughter.
Yeah.
She's all into swimming now because she's on the swim team and she's gonna go for a shot at All City if she can in the next couple of weeks. But she's all about that now. So it's swim practice every morning, and then it's another couple hours of practicing in the pool. She's really getting into it. So more power to her on that. She's loving that. And then we got a swim meet tomorrow night. That's what's consuming the extracurricular time. I'll mow my lawn, Joel. That's what I'll do. And
oh, there you go.
You know, tend to my gardens.
Music to my ears when I hear somebody else mow my yard every Saturday.
I love to mow my yard. I love
mowing. I hated it.
I don't like weeding. I do like mowing.
I'm just hoping now are the two bushes, if you want to call them that, out front, there's like one on each end of the house, are Syracuse hibiscus. At least that's what they identified as, and I used some plant identifying app. And they are all back. They're all green and they've been growing. But I've been waiting for flowers. So I'm hoping that by the end of this month, the next month I should say, that we have some. Cause it was about that time, like when we moved in, they had flowers on them. So I'm hoping that because that was about the time they were bloomed last year, that we'll get some, cause they are real pretty blooms, but that's it. I mean, the rest of our stuff doesn't have, you know, we have tree in the front and the bushes and stuff, and they're not gonna, those ones never had flowers on, never will, but, we don't plant them. I mean, these come and they do the mulch and everything. So it's all part of me paying whatever it is a month to the HOA. Not my first choice, but then I'm not, you know, I probably could find a way to legally hide an antenna on the property. Like if I went and put a giant flagpole in my front yard, I probably could do that, but it's just not worth it. I'm more into the portable ops anyway, for radio wise, so.
All right, we gotta wrap this up, Joel.
I don't have to do any of that stuff. Yes, we do.
It is, woohoo. Have a safe and happy.
And there's Joe back. Yes, mm-hmm. And while you can, enjoy your freedom as it lasts.
What is that for Joe?
For everyone.
Oh. All right. I was gonna say, what's happening to Joe and his freedom? Is Joe getting locked up?
Nope, it's for everyone.
All right, well, with that, have a happy one. Enjoy the next couple of weeks and stay cool. Here are your promos.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush.
Cut. Whoa, wait a second. What happened?
It played I Am Short twice.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on.
I am short.
Wait, why did it do that?
I'm okay with it saying it twice.
Yeah, I'm not. The only problem was it just. Yeah. We didn't have the.
I am short.
Oh, no, I know what the problem is. Oh, I need to put the promos in there. There we go. There we go.
I am short.
Oh, my God.
It's Hacker Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community.
you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello, my name is Matt, and I started a new podcast called Libre Quest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush.
Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy, I have a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg poo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's over. Yeah. Nightmare is over. Wow, wow, wow.
Another one in the bag.
Yo, and since you played that, since we moved out of the old house, we have not had Little Caesars since then. Over 2 years now.
Really? What's your beef with Little Caesars?
It's not as close anymore.
Oh, it's inconvenient now. Huh?
It's on the other side of town.
And the quality's kind of gone down a little bit at Little Caesars.
Yeah, quality?
Considering how little quality they had in the first place.
Right. Oh, and I found out, yeah, I thought it might have just been our address when we moved in here, but Pizza Hut will not deliver to my house. And I'm okay with that.
Because they know who you are?
No, they just don't deliver to where I'm at. Has nothing to do with me.
Are you out of their area? Is that
yeah. Area? Yep. But a lot of other people will. Even places further away, I probably could have someone from Uber Eats or Grubhub or one of the three, the big three delivery apps, go and order a pizza from Borgata, which is closer to the apartment, and have them bring it here before I could have Pizza Hut from here, which, like I said, I'm okay with that. But we had Papa John's the other day, though, and that was pretty good.
Oh, you know what? Pizza Hut won't deliver to me either.
Really?
Yeah, but that is because they know you.
Yeah.
That's right.
And I'm okay with that. I don't need them to deliver anything.
Pizza Hut is definitely not what they used to be back in the 80s. The 80s, they were actually decent, but now...
Well, you know, the 90s, they weren't terrible either. They had decent buffets still. They had the Bigfoot.
Right.
They had good pizza. Well, they had decent pizza.
Right. Now I'm just trying to find all the local places, which are 100% better anyway.
I forgot Pizza Hut had a Bigfoot. A Bigfoot yep. Pizza.
The thing was huge.
They also used to have one that had hot dogs in the edge.
That
which is gross.
Disturbing.
Yeah, it's more than disturbing, it's just gross.
Guys, I'm stopping to say goodnight to everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Yeah. I figure you'd like to hear the clickety-clack of my keyboard.
Click-clack.
On the glass table. And my cat, who's demanding attention again.
Again?
Behind my laptop, right next, almost right next to the microphone. She likes the warmth. She likes to lay behind laptop screens, where it's nice and the heat comes off of that, I guess. Sometimes, yep. Sometimes she'll come up, she'll jump up on the desk, and typically, when I'm working, my laptop screen. There's no room for her back there between that and the wall and the stuff and everything I have. And then she'll just come in and push her way back there and then push the laptop out to make herself some room. That's what she does. Like right now, that's what she's doing right now. She's laying behind my laptop, in front of my other monitor and just pushing it back so she can have all the room she wants.
Yep.
And I'm tolerating it.
My cat's like, I come walk in the room and cat's laying on the bed. I walk over to the bed to go pet the cat, and he's like, no, you can't touch me. Goes under the bed.
This one attacks when you stop petting. Take your hand away, and that's an invitation to claw at it.
Will he nibble at you, too?
Depends. She likes to lick plastic, which is weird.
Hey, guys.
Speaking of plastic lickers...
There he's back.
Did you miss me?
Yes.
Was it all just Joel talking about, like, CPAP and houses?
No.
Joel kept confusing you with Rich. He's like, is Rich, and he becomes like, is Rich coming back? I wonder how Joe's doing.
I just have one thing to say about that. Fuck you, Joel.
He's like, is Rich still repairing the headphones?
It's messed up, man.
Rich?
Messed up.
Nah, I would never say that. I know who did that. No, Rich is busy 3D printing lowers.
Yeah.
Bum, bum, bum. How you been doing?
Oh, not bad. Went to Florida. Spent a week there, but then that's why I wasn't able to get on last week. I was at having dinner with my sister.
In
Florida.
Oh, where in Florida?
The Panhandle area.
Okay.
Up by Georgia.
All right.
Yeah.
Almost in the Redneck Riviera.
It's pretty redneck. But, and then the week before, we had company over celebrating my son's birthday, so.
Always nice.
Yeah. We needed to do it before we left for Florida, so Wednesday was the day that got picked.
I got me a Switch last week.
Oh, cool. Switch or Switch Lite?
Regular Switch. Not the OLED version.
Okay, not the newest high-fangled one, but an older one?
Yeah, well, new machine, but the older one, yeah.
Older model.
Right.
How much do those run new?
$299.
Wow. Because even used, if they're working, they're still, like, over 200.
That's actually pretty incredible. It's a great
$279, right? You save $20 on the used one.
Yeah, you don't save a whole lot getting the used ones. Even the broken ones are still, you know, usually well over 100.
And actually, we bought two. One for me and one for the wife. Because it was our anniversary.
Oh, have you done anything interesting to it?
I just got the Namco Museum cartridge.
That would be no.
Homebrew on it?
No.
No, not yet. No, I'm really excited about something I heard about today that's coming. We'll talk about later on the show.
Yeah. It's coming.
Because Atari is 50.
Fuck Atari. Right?
Nope.
No. Sorry.
No Atari, no Nintendo, no nothing.
I it might have been before my time, but I still grew up on Atari.
You know what kind of sucks, though, is Atari's, like, really, it's not, it's changed hands so many times. It's not, like, the same
It's Atari. Not what it was.
Yeah, it's not the same
then.
Atari that we grew up with, but...
The nostalgia factor is still there.
Totally. Especially since back in the arcade days, they had so many good games that
they
brought
out. I have an opinion there. I'm going to save it for when we talk about it.
Yep.
You have an opinion?
I have an opinion.
Who told you you were allowed to have one of those?
My mommy did.
Your mommy did?
Yeah.
It's like your mommy thinks you're
sexy.
Handsome, right?
My mommy says I'm sexy. You know,
I wouldn't know. I haven't talked to my mother in like 20 years. 22 years now.
Is she still alive?
Yeah, she's still alive.
Oh. I was going to say, I haven't talked to mine since 2013, but she passed away. Oh, man. Her anniversary of her death's coming up. Damn. Gotta remember that. All right. This is 960. So let's fire it up. Ready?
No.